This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go. This episode is brought to you by Modern Fertility, California Cryobank, and BetterHelp. We are very excited to have them on board, making our show a possibility.
Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. I'm Jamie.
I'm Robin.
And we're your hosts.
Let me show you. Love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking the traditional route. If these ovaries could talk, if these ovaries could say. How do I get the sperm through custom?
I am a lesbian. So gay. We need to tell our story.
It's not your nuclear family anymore. It's not just your mom and dad thing.
We're not ruining these little humans.
Not for the gay reason. Just because we stay.
Woo, Jamie, we're back.
We are here.
We had a little vacation. We were dark for July 4th, even though it was July 5th. But
I mean, I hope you didn't miss us too much, but we're back.
They didn't.
We had a little rest, and that was really nice.
We're relaxed. We're also a little off our game, so apologies, but we're relaxed. I mean, relaxed. I mean, maybe we need to be more stressed out to be on our game. I don't know.
Maybe, because we have to be doing like 10 things at once, and then we know what we're talking about. We're just happy to be with you again, and Pride Month is over, and it was a beautiful month.
It was very proud.
Life's back to normal. Well,
in terms of life being back to normal, the competition
is fierce
for Derek and Romaine for the Podcast Awards People's Choice. Jamie is back on,
game on.
This
game
summer.
On. And listen, guys, we know you worked your hardest last year to get us there. We didn't win last year, even though we won 2 years ago.
So we lost to them the first year, and that's how we became friends with them.
Yeah.
Then we were like, oh, hell no. Then we won the second year.
Yeah.
And then they picked up their campaign to get all their listeners so that they could win. And now we have to secretly, you have to get everyone you know to vote for us, to nominate us.
Everyone, you just pick up your friends' phones. The link is going to be on our social. Find it. Boom, 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 boom. nominate us. We have to get nominated. We have to get all the nominations.
And you just go to podcastawards.com and you're going to have to sign up. Even if you voted for us in the past, you have to create a new account. And when you create that account, there's a little,
this is important.
There's
it's
a
new.
Little box that says, please consider me as one of the listeners that will be randomly selected to vote in the final slate in August. So that's important. So first you have to nominate us in two categories, but you also want to volunteer to be one of the People's Choice voters.
Also, they have this new category that they are awarding people is the most influential podcast of the year. And so when you are on the page to create your account, there's a little box you can fill in what your most influential podcast of the year was. And of course, you're going to want to put if these ovaries could talk. Because if we can beat Derek and Romaine there, that's even better.
God, we just have to beat them somewhere. We just got to beat them somewhere.
You know what? We're proud of everyone who wins.
We're not kidding.
I mean, we are kidding. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. We do this for the love of doing it. We don't have to win, but we want to win. That's all.
True. Okay, quick recap. You're going to go to podcastawards.com. You're going to nominate us in the Adam Curry People's Choice Awards and the LGBTQ category. We have to be Derek and Romaine. And don't forget to click the box that says, please consider me as one of the listeners who will randomly select it. And put us in as the influential.
Yeah. Yeah.
Podcaster.
Yeah. Just get all that stuff done and then stop what you're doing right now. Go do it. No, I'm just kidding.
We ask so much of our people, Jamie. We're aware of that and we love you even more for it.
This is where we get our jollies, guys, right here. like if we win a random award, we're like, woo, this is what we do.
That sustains us for 5 more minutes. Jamie, let's give our special shout out to our newest Patreon members.
All right. Are we? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Do you know who these Patreon members are? They're close friends. The Franzitos.
And they were in season one, Toby and Karen.
They were in season one, Toby and Karen. They have a really wonderful episode. You can go back and listen to their story of how they made their daughter. It's a really lovely, heartwarming story. And they are our newest Patreon members. Thank you so much. Toby and Karen, you rock.
Thank you, Franzitos. And if you also want to help us make content for LGBTQ families, you can join our Patreon community. It helps us make the show. So you're doing a good thing and you get bonus content.
Yes, because we still don't actually make money doing this, guys.
No. Much to my wife's chagrin.
And mine too. So whatever you can do to help us make this content, thank you so much. We really do appreciate it. This is a PSA announcement, your public service announcement, PBS. We need to do one of those telethons that they always did
on
PBS.
God.
They still do those.
We need another show, Jamie. I don't know.
A 24-hour telethon.
All right. Just head over to patreon.com/ovariestalk and you can join us there.
Okay.
All righty. Let's get to it.
All right. So this is another listener story. Mm-hmm, we love these. We love it when folks reach out to us and let us know that, wait a second, you haven't told this story. This has to be told and I'd like to tell it. And so that's basically what happened.
Yeah. Elise and Zoe, they have a story that I think is really going to be good for people to hear. It basically doesn't always have to be crazy hard.
It doesn't. It's not always hard.
No, sometimes it's like pretty easy. And in this case, Zoe's brother donated, Elise carried via IVF, and voila, baby.
Baby.
Can you tell I'm watching a French show now?
Here is something we have only brought up in one episode before because we only had one other person who did this. Two people did it?
Yeah.
Two people did. I'm in awe of anybody who does this. Induced lactation. They both breastfed this baby. These warrior women induce that lactation. I mean, you have to hear the story. It's pretty impressive. It's pretty amazing.
You do.
And it's possible. You can do this. You can do this.
And while we're talking about doing it, though, one note, we want to be really clear. We're not doctors. We're not giving out any medical advice in terms of inducing lactation because they do talk about ways in which they go about it. So if this is something you want to do, talk to your doctor. We're not recommending that you follow their path. We're not recommending any of that. Just speak to a doctor.
We don't give advice here. We just tell stories.
No.
We just tell the stories. So
we share the stories, Jamie.
And we share the stories. We don't even tell the stories because what we're going to do is we're going to roll this tape and they're going to tell their story to us.
Helen, I know you were off last week, but we need you to roll the tape.
She's got to walk from the other room.
I know. Hum,
down hum, the hall.
Hum. I just hear like thump, thump, thump.
The clickety clack of her slippers.
Roll it, Helen.
Okay, Helen, you got to roll it. You can just press it on your phone, Helen.
Hi, guys. guys. Hi, Elise and Zoe.
Hi.
It's so good to have you guys here.
We're excited.
On the computer screen.
Yeah.
You know what? Elise and Zoe, you guys are like a couple that we could have had in person had it not been for social distancing because you're so close by.
That's true.
We're so glad to have you here on our Zoom screens. And
we've said it before, we'll say it again. We love when listeners reach out and want to be on the podcast. We love it.
Really, yeah.
You know, it's nice to talk to influencers and famous people, but it's really nice to talk to people who this is meaningful and they care.
Yeah. Well, we listened to so many episodes, I feel like, before we started trying and after. And so we were like, you know, we should, you know, pay it forward, I guess.
Yeah, it's awesome. And you know what? You're not the first listeners who've come on and said, I thought it was my turn to pay it forward. I just think that that's such an amazing concept and something I don't think Robin ever thought that would come from this podcast, but that people are listening and getting so much valuable info from these episodes. And then they think, well, I guess I should pay it forward now, which is just amazing. But wait,
Jamie, they never say they're getting valuable information from us. They're getting it from the episode. And that's fine. Yeah. We understand that. We'll take it.
We're not upset by
you
that.
You tried out. Yeah. You know, you're part of it.
You're part of it.
We're here. We are here for the conversation.
You two show up. Yeah. All right. Let's start where we always start, which is with the elevator pitch. Are you two ready?
We're ready.
Okay. On your mark. Get set. Go.
No pressure.
So we met in 2013 on OkCupid and were each other's first and only online date. And Zoe grew up in South Dakota and I grew up just north of the city. And just after we got married, we actually moved into the house that I grew up in. And we live there now with our 7-month-old as of today and our two cats.
Whoa.
That was concise. That was
under the wire.
Under the wire. Good job. Oh my God. Ladies.
What's it like to live in your childhood home with your kid?
I'm jealous.
It's pretty great.
It's great.
You know, it's people always say, oh, is it weird? You know, but we got in and we spent like a month, you know, taping out wallpaper, ripping up carpet. So like it feels like our own, you know?
You changed it.
We changed it enough. And we're part of this really awesome community that has like a lake in the middle and we know all our neighbors. And so it just like feels it's, you know, where we would imagine raising a kid if we didn't know that this place existed, you know? So,
But do you like walk by things and be like, oh, I remember when my sister punched me here, or like, do you have those kinds of like childhood memories, or does it feel like a different place now?
No, it feels very much the same, like trapped in time. So like, I mean, I probably drive Zoe crazy, but I'm like, did I tell you about this? And you're like, yeah, you told me about that. You know?
Are you in your parents' bedroom? And is that
we
weird?
Are.
That's weird.
Does that feel weird?
It's not the same
Did you
bed.
Burn some sage?
There's a lot of carpet and wallpaper. Like we really, that was a primary room that we started in.
Yeah. We ripped up all of the carpet and all of the like floral wallpaper.
Yeah. They're like brass bed isn't in here, you know? Right. So it like,
It feels like yours.
Yeah.
You know, you just add a plant and everything's better.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let's get into the family.
Let's
talk about how you said you listened to us before. And after, so that leads us to believe there's a baby. Let's talk about that.
There is a baby. 7-month-old.
Yeah.
Today.
He's 7 months.
Yeah. It's wild. It's crazy.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We made it 7 months.
Yeah.
Let's take it to, OkCupid, first date. What?
Yeah. So our first date, I was actually living at home with my parents at that time, but I was working in the city and Zoe was in Brooklyn. So we met in Manhattan at like a little Belgian like waffle place.
Like you do.
And then went on a lot more dates after that. And then eventually I moved into the city and we moved in together.
We lived in Brooklyn.
For a while.
And right away you both were like, I mean, on date two, I mean, on your OkCupid profile, it said want kids.
More or less, My sister actually asked me the other day, she's like, when did it come up that you guys wanted kids? And I feel like there was never a conversation. It was just like always kind of embedded in all of our conversations, you know, like, oh, wouldn't it be so fun to take a kid here? Or like, you know, that type of conversation.
Wouldn't it be cool to have a kid in my childhood home? It was like,
that was my idea, actually. So I take credit for that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Zoe. So both of you always just kind of knew you were going to have kids or knew you wanted kids.
Yeah.
Like, there was never any doubt because of the gay thing or anything like that.
I love that.
I guess we like, you know, we're lucky enough, we're young enough, I guess, that it was never really an obstacle. Like, you know, we knew that it was a possibility, like with IVF and
yeah, like I hadn't thought about the logistics of it, but I knew that like it would happen somehow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And what point did you all start talking about it?
I feel like even before we got married.
Yeah. Before we got married, we were like, okay, so we're going to get married in fall of 2017. And then in spring of 2018, we're going to move into Elise's parents' house. And then after we've been there for like a year, then we'll start trying. Right. So that was the plan. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really specific plan though.
Yeah. It is. How'd that work out for you?
Worked out pretty well. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But yeah,
we wasn't expecting that.
Well, it worked out that we started talking about it a year after we had moved in, but then, you know, things aren't ever as quick as you think they will be.
Right.
No.
And so, you know, I think in that theory, we thought we would have a kid, you know, within 9 months of starting.
I do think we all think that. Especially mm-hmm. because there's science involved sometimes. We're like, yeah. Oh, well, it's obviously going to happen right away because it's with the science. Why wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we talked to some friends of ours who got pregnant on their first IUI. So we were like, okay, well, great. That'll happen for us.
And then another friend obviously. Got pregnant within their first IVF. So
well, there you go. Obviously, it's going to happen for you too.
Right. But so we weren't even, so when we started talking about it, we had a known donor. Zoe's brother is the donor.
And Elise, you were carrying.
I was carrying, yeah. But we didn't realize that because he was a known donor and we went through a sperm bank, which at first we weren't sure we were going to do that. We thought maybe we would do it at home, you know, turkey baster style, but that didn't end up making sense. And so
because he lives in Colorado, so that would have been a lot of like travel logistics.
Yeah.
Right.
But so anyway, because we went through the sperm bank, we had to quarantine the sperm for 6 months.
Because it just really sucks.
It's so annoying. Yeah. So you sent it to a sperm. I didn't know you could do that. Maybe
it gets collected. He would go into a place and collect it, right?
Yeah. So he's in Boulder and there is a place like an hour from him that he had to go actually three times because they wanted him to do like three.
Well, four times because he had to go for a physical.
Right.
And then three different deposits.
Right. Each you know, a week apart from each other, you know, so he was like road tripping to go do this for us. And then, after like the last deposit, then the six-month quarantine started.
And then after 6 months, he had to go back for another physical and they had to like check everything again before they sent it to New York.
To like make sure he didn't have like any STIs or something.
Yeah. I don't
Which, but like, it was already in there. Like the sperm's already out of him.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if there's like an incubation period or something.
It's unclear. And
they never
York,
tell you why, you know, they just say you have to do this thing.
Well, and if you said, this is my boyfriend, none of that would have to happen. And that's the part that makes me upset about it.
Yeah. And in New York, you can waive it. Like if you have a known donor, you can like just sign a paper that says,
I didn't understand that
this is a risk.
I didn't know that either.
But in Colorado, you can't. So like if he had come here to do like depositing and whatever, then we could have waived it. But because he was in Colorado, Colorado doesn't let you waive it.
And we had talked about like, do we just like bring him here, have him like deposited here?
There was a lot of appointments.
Yeah, because he had to do it, like, he had to wait, like, a week between each deposit. It was like, are we going to have him here for 3 weeks? You know?
So. Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, let's talk BetterHelp. You know Robin and I are huge fans of BetterHelp, and if you don't, you're about to find out.
Because BetterHelp is amazing. We love it. It's online therapy that is done securely online. You go to their website, sign up, and you could start communicating with a licensed professional therapist in under 48 hours.
It is not a crisis line. It is not self-help. It is professional counseling, which I think we could all use, right? I mean, always. And also, there's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in your area. Mm-hmm. So you can possibly find someone more qualified to deal with whatever it is you need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
The lady who helped you and I, Robin, stellar. Yeah. We needed her and we wouldn't have had her in New York if we had person.
No. I also love that it's super accessible. Like you can log into your account anytime. You can send a message to your counselor and you are going to get timely and thoughtful responses. And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling. And P.S. financial aid is available.
Yes, guys. Also, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So they make it really easy and free to change counselors if you need to.
Because BetterHelp, they want you to start living a happier life and they want you to do that today.
I agree. Let's do it today. Visit betterhelp.com/OCT. That's better, H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
Yeah. And in fact, BetterHelp has so many people have been using them that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states.
That's great because everybody needs help right now, mm-hmm. literally. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. but this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. And If These Ovaries Could Talk listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/OCT.
Woo!
I feel like we need to back it up a bit because we didn't discuss the fact that you chose your brother to donate.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the conversation surrounding that and how you came to that decision and how you talked to the brother about it and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know.
How did that all come up? And when were you like, we're doing that with, you know, going to get my brother?
Yeah. So my brother is 2.5 years younger than me. And he lives in Boulder, Colorado, and he works for Google. He's like a computer person. Mm-hmm.
I bet he's really happy that you described it like that.
I guess it was when we were dating. I don't remember. Somehow it came up that we
had a late night, like heart to heart, like conversations when everyone else went to bed and
like family gatherings.
And it like came up one time. Like you were just like, would you like ever consider, you know, like I don't think we were even engaged at that point.
No.
And he said, sure, you know,
why not?
And so I remember like she texted me like, at some point, like if it came up, like Michael said he would donate. So then, when we were like actually like, you know, talking about it, at that point I had gone to their grandmother's house for Christmas and we were all like flying back together.
So we were at the airport.
So we're at the airport.
Sitting outside a Starbucks in the airport.
Mm-hmm. And we were like, so do you remember the time you said you would maybe donate sperm? Like, is that still on the table? And he, you know, he's very like casual. And he was like, yeah, we could probably do that. You know, just you're like, okay, can we like tell the details? Like what might be involved? You know, he's like, okay. So, you know, like we're very type A, like, you know, so we like send a very detailed email, like bullet points and all the things you have to do, you know, and he was just always very.
And he would just like do it. He wouldn't like communicate about it. Like, we would just get a bill from the, you know, sperm bank and be like, oh, I guess Michael up for his appointment. Oh, I guess
we got a deposit.
Deposit. Oh, yeah. Okay.
And we're like, who is Annie Potts? Is it Annie Potts in Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
She goes, we got one.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It was very much just
that's
like,
what I keep seeing.
Yeah. So it was like a very like anticlimactic, like no drama. Like it was just like, okay. Yeah. You know.
And he made me fill out all the paperwork because he had to fill out all the paperwork as if he were like,
anonymously,
you know, so you have to fill out like all your family history and stuff. And he like sent that to me and he was like, can you fill this out? I don't know any of this.
He would like sign the bottom and he's like, you. But the one thing he did fill out was like, it says, you know, what do you hope to like pass on with the sperm, you know? And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like a generic kind of question. And he said, I hope that this child has all of the characteristics that annoy Zoe about me. Like that was. So we'll see if that pans out.
So he took this real seriously.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So did you guys have conversations? Or obviously, you had conversations around what it's going to look like when the baby comes, what his role is going to be, what's going to be called. Because it sounds like you two are really close, you and your brother, Zoe.
I mean, no. We're not close. We're just very different. I mean, you know,
when you said heart to hearts, I don't have heart to hearts with my brother. Like we don't really do that.
Right. It's like, you know, kind of the once a year, like they see each other. It's great. You know? Mm-hmm. And then like
we get along, but we just don't talk very often, I guess is the way to put it. Yeah. Like,
well,
you know,
he sounds like maybe not a communicator. I mean, the fact that he would just get bills and know who he did, like, I'd be like, were you going to maybe even throw me a text? Just let me know I went, you know, nothing. Right. So maybe that's not his jam.
It is not.
Dropping off the swimmers.
Yeah.
Did you, because of that, were at any point were you like, I hope he doesn't just like quit, or were you just like, no, he's going to do what he said he's going to do it?
Yeah. Cause he's very like, he just doesn't communicate. Like, you know, that he like cares, you know,
and he was very fast at doing everything,
which we interpreted to mean that he was excited about it.
Yeah.
You know,
all right. You take it, you take what they're giving you. Yeah. Right.
I mean, also like we all grew up in South Dakota. So like, you don't really communicate via words or like feelings.
It's like actions.
It's like actions, you know? Are like the way to like express your, you know, love of somebody. Like if you're doing things that help them, then that is all that needs to be done.
So then there weren't big discussions about like we're going to, these are the boundaries that you were just kind of like, trust and it's all good.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't want kids of his own. And so he was like, yep, great. Sperm, have a baby. Great. I'll be Uncle Michael.
Bye. You know, and we kind of said like, so we're the parents, like you're the uncle, you know, like that will be the relationship. And he's like, yeah, okay.
And did he have to relinquish parental rights?
So at the time, like with the sperm bank, like, you know, he had to sort of do the standard filling out of stuff. But then once Simon was born, we did like through New York, you can do a parentage agreement, which basically instead, like it just happened as of February, instead of second parent adoption, you can say basically like this child was conceived via artificial insemination and like we are the intended parents, not the sperm donor. So we did that. Okay.
Well, we're in the process of doing it. We haven't technically finished
it. I just have to go to the notary. But like the paperwork.
So much. The paperwork will kill you.
Well, this parentage thing is new and is supposed to be much better or easier than second parent adoption. At the time that this airs, we will have already had this conversation, but we're having Anthony on our live stream to talk about legal stuff. And this is one of the things he's going to talk about. So go to our YouTube page if you want to learn more about the legal around this, because we will have already had this conversation at this point.
Nice.
There you go.
Right now, we're not eligible, but we will be.
Now, I know nothing about it. And I'm still trying to finish my second parent adoption. So that's what happened.
Yeah. Well, and we actually contacted the lawyer thinking we were going to do the second parent adoption. But then she was like, actually, because we went to her, I think, in September.
Yeah.
And she was like, actually, in February, parentage is becoming a thing. So we recommend that you do that. And so that's how we learned about it. We had no idea.
Okay. Wow.
Okay.
And so. It's just, you have to get something notarized. That's like the hardest part of it.
Yeah.
Seems like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I have to sign a thing to get notarized. And then Michael had to get something notarized.
Yeah. And then we just send like those notarized things and then his birth certificate and our marriage license.
Simon's birth certificate, not Michael's.
Simon's, not Michael's. Simon is our baby. And then they just like present it to a judge. And they've said that they've just been doing those on Zoom and it takes like 2 minutes. And then you're done.
Oh, and you don't have to have the social worker visit, like none of that stuff.
And and fill out the past 80 years of your addresses.
Yeah.
That's totally not accurate, but it feels
25
like that.
Years, but still.
It's still a lot.
Yeah.
When you're in entertainment and you move around like it's your job.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because it is your job. But you had to submit a marriage certificate. Do you have to be married?
No, or maybe you just need to like show like what your like relationship is to each other.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, we're going to learn more about this. So thank you so much for opening our eyes.
I'm so bummed that we hadn't already had that because I wish I knew more about this right now.
I want to know more. But now our listeners are like, okay,
they're like, all right, now I got to go listen to the live stream for God's sake.
Like, wait, we know that already.
Jamie, what if I told you you could get important fertility insights without going to the doctor or even leaving home?
Ooh.
Modern fertility makes that possible with easy at-home fertility home testing, Jamie.
I mean, I'd say tell me more, and our audience should say the same thing too, because truthfully, modern fertility is great for the LGBTQ+ community. Let's be real. It's great for us because we spend so much money creating our families, don't we, Robin?
We do.
It is important to find those money saver options that come up along the way. And there are some now. Traditional testing with your doctor, you guys, it can cost over $1,000. But modern fertility only costs $159. And you get the same information. Money saver.
Boom. Oh, and also, Jamie, if you have an HSA or an FSA, you can use those dollars on modern fertility. More money savings.
I love the money saving. You're going to get insight into how many eggs you have, your hormone levels, other important fertility factors.
And it doesn't stop there. The results go deep into what every hormone means. And you can also talk one-on-one with a fertility nurse to review your results and options for next steps.
That's a nice touch. That's a nice perk. So if you're ready to start this baby-making journey, this might be the right place for you to start.
Right now, Modern Fertility is offering our listeners $20 off the test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
That means, you guys, your test is going to cost $139 instead of the hundreds or thousands it could cost at a doctor's office.
Come on, folks. Get $20 off your fertility test when you go to modernfertility.com/OCT.
modernfertility.com/OCT. How did you guys decide that Elise was going to carry?
So we both want to carry at some point. And so I'm older by like a year. And so we just decided that I would go. Also, like, I feel like I wouldn't, I didn't think, now that I've given birth, I feel like I could do it, but I didn't think I'd be able to I wouldn't want to carry if I saw her give birth.
Oh, after you saw it happen. Yeah. I get that. So, I saw it happen first and I got real scared.
Yeah. So I was like, I feel like, and Zoe's like, I think the braver one. So she's like, I could do it.
I'm tough. But that means you have to use different donors.
No.
Yeah. Wow. So that's what we thought.
That was our plan.
Wait. That was our plan. We were like, that's fine. Like, we'll use Michael for when I...
Jamie, I know the answer. I know you
do. You're looking at me like...
So, because our plan was to do IUI with his sperm. And then we would get an anonymous donor for Zoe to carry.
Zoe, right.
But the fact that you said our plan tells me.
So then we ended up doing two IUIs. And then it decided to go to IVF. And so now we have embryos. So now Zoe can carry the embryos.
What made you ratchet it up so quickly?
So it's so funny because when we like decided to have this plan and we started the IUIs, our fertility clinic was very IVF focused and we would always go back.
Like when
we
went in for our first appointment, they were like, oh, so you want to do IVF? And we were like, no.
And so we would be so annoyed and we were just like, yeah, in the city, you know, we're like, they just keep pushing IVF on us. We're not going to do IVF. Like, it's so expensive. We're just not going to do it. Like, we're going to go somewhere else if they keep pushing it. But then we did.
Did they even say a reason why they were pushing it, or they just this just?
No, they just.
Because how old were you?
29.
Yeah, I mean absurd.
Babies.
Yeah, and they at that point they hadn't even done any tests on me. Like, you know, they just assume like you just want to do it.
This is what makes me mad about how we're treated. You know that there's no that's a place that is not like in tune to LGBTQ folks, because
there's no concession for the fact that we are going there because
we need help
to get the extra part inside of us, but not because we have any problems that we know of conceiving. And there's no concession for that when you go to these clinics, which sucks.
Some clinics. Yeah. Some there are, but
they're doing better. Right. Some are doing better and it's changing.
No, they were not. So it was very frustrating. But it ended up, you know, so we did these two IUIs and then there were a few kind of factors that caused us to like ramp it up. One was that we found out that we had a lifetime limit on my insurance of $15,000 that would cover any IUI or IVF, like the transfer itself, not like all the testing, but the transfer itself. And we knew we wanted it to cover Zoe too, assuming I'm at the same job when she gets pregnant. So we're like, all right, like say we do like 5, 6, 7 IUIs, that's going to really eat into that limit.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the other thing was that their technique was they would do IUIs, like two of them, like, you know, one day and then the next day.
Yeah.
And then each IUI uses a full vial of sperm.
Yeah.
And Michael had contributed 6 vials. And so with 2 tries, we had gone through 4 vials.
Oh.
And so we're like, all right,
you have to go through your quarantine period again.
And so I was like, at that point, we're just like, we're in it. Like, I don't want to wait another.
And also we started doing the research. And it's like IUIs, it's like a 20% chance of it working.
Yep.
And with IVF, with untested embryos, it bumps up to like almost 50%. And then with tested embryos, it's like 70% of it working. And so it's like, okay, 20%, 70%. Like,
and with IVF, they don't use the full vial.
Right.
They only have to use a little bit. And
nobody
so
they ever told me that with all my IVFs. Wait, what? They always used the full vial for me.
They did?
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, there's different like techniques, but I don't even remember the acronym. Oh yeah, ICSI, like where they just like actually like put it in the egg. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of letting it swim to it, they like insert it.
They're like, get in there, sir.
Yeah. So we did that. So we decided like it just made more sense.
And we found out originally when we had talked to our insurance, they said that they wouldn't cover IVF unless there was a diagnosed fertility issue.
Mm-hmm.
When we called them again after we had done the two IUIs, they were like, oh, no, we cover
80%. Oh.
What? So we were like, well, okay.
Like,
yeah. Right. And we don't know why it changed or if it was just a different person we talked to or what.
That's annoying though.
Like, yeah.
Just talk to the wrong person on the wrong day.
By the way, that's just like anytime you call customer service, I don't care what the company is. It's who you talk to.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. So I don't know if that person was just sympathetic and they're like, yeah, I'll like fill this out on your file and like, you're good to go.
No, but then we talked to people a bunch of other times and that was always true. So I think that the first person we talked to was just wrong.
Stuck.
Yeah. Right. Which is annoying. Oh, like I keep using the word annoying. I need to find a better word, but it's like, get your shit.
Yeah. And like, I mean, that like significantly changes like actual huge. Lives, you know?
It's yes. huge.
Yeah, yeah, to just have that misinformation. Yeah. So
okay, so you decide to do IVF and you decide to test the embryos as yes. well.
Because we ended up, we got 22 eggs and then there nice. Ended up being like 13 embryos.
13.
Which nice. Is great. And so we were like, it's really expensive to freeze that many embryos. So we were like, we need to like,
I never got to that
point. Weed some out, you know, otherwise it's like, I don't even remember how much it is per embryo, but it's a lot.
Yeah, but testing the embryos is expensive too.
It is. It's true. But you only have to do that once, whereas the freezing, right. then you have to pay like every year
right.
to
right.
keep them right. stored.
And we're also right. like at that point, you know, we're like, we're going to shell out a lot of money for this. Like, let's make sure we put in the very best one.
Right.
And not makes like sense. Put in, you know, one that might not work or, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
At this point, we were just really over going to the clinic. Just, like, we were like, I don't want to go to this clinic that. Anymore. We just want to like be done.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Maximize that, totally. Odds across the board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how many did you end up after the testing with?
Three.
We ended up with three wow. perfect and like
chromosomally normal
right.
embryos.
Right. Right.
And then there were like five mosaics.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
Which they will keep and they will use them as like second priority for transfer.
Yeah.
And then the other like, ones just were like bye.
Right. And the rest were abnormal, bad, don't use them.
Yeah. So we're really glad that we did the testing.
Yeah, because it like half. I mean, we got rid of seven yeah, and then kept right. six.
So the odds are that we would have put in one that didn't work would have been pretty high, you know?
Yeah, and that you could have done seven tries before you actually got one.
Right.
Out of curiosity, what is the testing cost? Do you remember?
Is this the PGI testing? Is that mm-hmm. the testing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a lot.
It's like a couple thousands. Grand kind of thing or
yeah. Like I want to say it was like
$3,500 or something.
Jeez like that. Louise.
Yeah.
Cause and that's not going to be covered by insurance.
No, it was not covered. It was like, here's my credit card number, you know, like it was pretty shocking.
The amount of times you swipe your credit card at the fertility doctor is astounding and scary.
Yeah.
It was $9,250
for all of them
for total. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's like kind of embarrassing.
I would have thought like $2,000, but you're going to save yourself money in the long run
because every transfer is at least $6,000.
$6,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And so, like even and like the drugs too that you have to have like for the transfer, like it's all very expensive.
Right. Right. And I'm glad, you know, like I'm almost glad that there were that many abnormals that we had to discard because like if they had tested them and they all were good then I'd be like well damn like
we spent $9,000 for nothing
but it actually was really worth it so
and now we're only paying to store 5 embryos which is much more reasonable
especially because in your case you had so many like somebody like me I was left with 5 embryos the first time I did it
right.
Which, you know, storing, and then they put 2 in so storing 3 is not that
right.
And then I was going to do it the next month because it didn't take you know so
right.
In your instance, that was the smarter decision.
Right.
So you get down to
3 good ones.
Well, 3 perfect good ones. 3 like normal, good ones. And 3 mosaics.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And so if I'm doing the math correct, since you've got 5 in the freezer, then you put 1 in and it worked.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, you probably were patting yourself on the back pretty darn hard. You were like, we did everything right.
We did good. But, you know, it's like when you're in the mode and like, you know, there aren't that many resources out there. So you're like on all these like infertility blogs, like, you know, and so even when we got the positive pregnancy test and like, you know, your HCG is doubling and you're going back, like we didn't really count on it for a while. Like, I feel like I was like well into my second trimester before we were like, okay,
like this is
happening, you know?
Cause like, when all your resources are infertility blogs and Facebook.
Exactly. Groups,
it's like, everybody has had so many losses and have had such a hard time and like so many miscarriages. And it's think that it's likely to.
That it's going to take. You know? And that's all your reference, right? That's why podcasts like this need to exist.
Right.
Because those are not our stories completely.
Right. No one's ever said that before. That's such an interesting thing that I hadn't thought of like this idea of like every chat group is someone who's praying and hoping and send baby dust and like I'm in the 2-week wait and oh, it sucked. It didn't happen.
That's why I always say, sorry, go ahead, Rob.
No, I was just saying like that never occurred to me that we are waiting about in that, as well as all of the, you know,
it's very depressing.
It was like, I don't know, like secondary trauma or something, you know, like I felt like it, too good to be true. Like it doesn't happen, you know, like you're gonna get pregnant first IVF and like keep it and, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, Robin, it's the most wonderful time of the podcast.
Yes.
I have that song in my head. This is the time we tell everyone about the special code we have for folks who need sperm to start their family.
Yes. California Cryobank is offering our listeners a free level 2 donor information subscription for 90 days. Jamie, that's worth $145.
I'll take it. I will take it. That's plenty of time. Plenty of time to find sperm. So this subscription gives you access to extended donor profiles, childhood photos, and adult photos for some of the donors. It gives you access to their medical histories. You can read personal essays, which I personally loved for my donor.
Mm-hmm.
California Cryobank offers 14 different donor information items to help clients with the selection process and to provide future children with in-depth information about their donor. It's very important stuff, very important, and you can't do this without all those extras. I'm telling you, when you start this search for Superman, which it will become, you want everything you can get on these donors.
Yeah, so just to reiterate, you're going to get 90 days with access to all the level 2 perks. And that's as Jamie said, plenty of time to pick your donor.
Truth. Ooh. And you're going to get a donor keepsake, which is a special USB drive that includes digital files of your donor's level 2 or level 3 information items. And this keepsake allows you to preserve your donor's information to share with your child one day. It's really a great.
Yeah.
Now it's all digital. I love
know.
It.
I know. So if you're ready to start building your family, head over to cryobank.com, open up a free account, and you're going to use the code OCT, and that is going to activate your free subscription today.
That's cryobank.com, cryobank.com. Make those babies and then tell us all about it.
So many babies. So many.
Okay, so you get pregnant. Pregnancy's fine.
But by the way, we're in COVID for this now.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So our transfer was February 6th, 2020. And then, we had like a month before COVID hit.
And so we were still going to the fertility clinic for appointments.
Mm-hmm. And we were like, because it was just like, it was the last one where we were going to graduate. You know?
Yeah.
And we were like,
you go to your OBGYN,
you know? And like, so we called the clinic and we're like, are you still having appointments? Like, should we come in? And previously we had been like, we commute into the city for work. So we would take the train, take the subway. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not getting on the train.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was the height of fear at that time.
Yeah.
You're in your first trimester. You just got pregnant.
Right. And I had like,
so scary.
Like 3 days after my transfer, I had gotten a really bad cold. And like, you know, you read all these things, like your immune system is down when you're pregnant. And so I was like, it proved it. Like I got sick, you know, I'm not going anywhere.
Like,
so we called and they're like, no, you have to come in. Like, so you can graduate, you know, the fertility clinic. And so we actually had a friend who was staying with us because she lived in Brooklyn and we had like, you know, rescued her from the city. And we were like,
you should come live in my childhood home also. Come on.
Exactly. So
everybody.
Like, can you drive us into the city so we don't have to park? Mm-hmm. And so she like sat with the hazards on, like outside, we went in, like signed a paper that said like, we're done. And then, you know, went back, but it felt like a covert operation, you know,
because we didn't sit on any chairs when we went, we stood in the middle of the waiting room.
Yeah. But you're like driving into the city and there's like all the like, you know, construction like signs
home.
That are like, stay home, wear a mask. Like,
oh my God.
You know, and it was like, is this illegal that we're like going into the city? Like, are we allowed to do this? You know, we're like,
it's like during an apocalypse. You had to. It was so scary.
But it was so scary. It like felt like the apocalypse.
Yeah. I remember the person like handed me a pen to like sign the paper and I was like, I don't think I can grab that pen.
I brought my own pen.
I know.
You know,
I think I did.
Like,
I brought my own pen places.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Yeah.
What was giving birth like during COVID? Was that really, really stressful?
Well, so it was October. So like the like height of the fear, I feel like had died down a little bit. So we knew
kind of relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we knew like Zoe could be there with me. They still didn't allow any visitors.
Which was kind of nice.
We actually kind of liked, but they did make you wear a mask like the whole time. Like, so that was the part that sucked, was like whenever doctor came in, you had to put the mask on, you know, like the lactation consultant came in, like you had to put the mask on, you know? Mm-hmm. So like that was kind of That was rough. And apparently I wore one pushing, but like, I don't remember, you know, like, say? You know, afterwards I was like, did I keep the mask on the whole time? And I was like, yeah, you did. But you know, you don't notice. You.
When you have that second, you're going to be like, this is totally different.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For so many reasons. Yeah.
By the way, did you see how I just pushed you right into your second? Your kid's only 7 months old.
No, we talk about it all the time. Cause I like had a really like pretty like comfortable pregnancy. My labor was like pretty good as well. And we're like, Zoe's just screwed. Like it's going to be rough. But
I want to talk about that, Zoe, and your second kid. And like, so you have a 7 month old Simon.
Yeah.
And you always knew you were going to have two, and Zoe, you always knew you were going to carry, but you didn't always know that you were going to be using Elisa's embryos.
That's true.
Right. Yeah. That's
yeah.
True. So like, how's that process been? Cause I feel like personally I would have had a mourning period. Like,
well, no, I mean, she has her genetics through her brother though.
That's yeah. true. That's true. I didn't think of that. But for me, genetics were really important.
Right.
Yeah. Interestingly, genetics are not that. I mean, I'm glad that we got to use my brother just because mm-hmm. it's nice to know him, you know, and like know who it is. Mm-hmm. But like, even I said earlier that like I've always wanted kids, but for mm-hmm. a long time, like probably until almost college, I was convinced I was only going to adopt kids mm-hmm. because I just like didn't see the appeal of being pregnant or like birthing a child. I was like, why do that when you could just adopt a kid? Like, I don't know. That doesn't seem great.
Interesting. So then why go to the point where you say, well, I'm going to carry two?
Well, I don't know. Hormones, I guess. I don't know. Just like then and especially like watch it. Honestly, Elise made pregnancy look great. Like she made it look so good.
Good job, Elise. And I didn't so do that.
So now I like want to know, you know, like I want to know what it's like and mm-hmm. I want to like feel the feelings and like.
You want to join the club.
Yeah. I threw up more during Elise's pregnancy than she
yeah, she got the morning sickness. I never got morning sickness. Zoe got it.
That's interesting.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That's
interesting.
It's a hormone which thing. Partially I think was hormonal, but well, like, it was all hormonal. It's a thing. It's but also Kavans. Zoe had she induced lactation.
Right.
Oh.
And so she so I mean,
we're gonna have to talk about that.
Yeah. So once I got pregnant, Zoe started like went on birth control, started taking drugs so that she would be ready.
Right.
So like she had side effects from that.
Right.
As if she were pregnant.
But your body was nauseous like, before I started all that. So I think it was a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if on the second Zoe carries, will you induce lactation?
I think so. Yeah.
Because you had like two feeders. Is that was the or was it about bonding?
Both.
Yeah, both.
Yeah.
But really the two feeding thing was the highlight
because
it made nighttime a lot easier.
Yeah. And I mean, everyone needs a lot of sleep, but I feel like I'm a extra high need sleep person. And so, you know, we felt like that would be a good thing for us, you know, having Zoe be able to like help out middle of the night and it proved true. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I don't need as much sleep. I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Let's talk about induced lactation.
Yeah.
How
do you make it happen?
Well, I will tell you.
Yes, please.
It's a multi-step process. So the first thing is that you go on birth control mm-hmm. and we found a lactation consultant who was thrilled mm-hmm. because we reached out in
when I got pregnant,
like when you got pregnant early mm-hmm. on. And she was like, this is great. She was like, oftentimes people come to me like 2 weeks before the baby is going to be born. And it's like, at that point, it's like, good luck.
Too late. Yeah.
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 But I knew that there was stuff that had to happen. Mm-hmm. We have a friend who's a midwife. So she had like talked to somebody at her work and had given us like sort of like a little packet about like what you need to do. But it wasn't like I couldn't just like do it on my own. We needed to go through somebody. So I was on birth control. And then the second thing that you do is you take this drug called domperidone. And it is, I don't even know what it's actually for, but a side effect of it is that it induces lactation. Like it makes you lactate.
And where do you get this drug?
From New Zealand.
So you like send away for it.
You can get it in the States for its intended purpose.
I think it's like some heart related thing. I don't know.
But you can't get it to induce lactation in the States.
Right.
And you'd have to go through your like primary care doctor and be like, I need this heart.
My heart hurts.
Right.
Induce my boobs to make some milk.
Yeah. And so they won't do that.
Because I'm going to be a gay mom.
They do it in like the UK. They do it in Mexico.
They do it in Canada, Mexico, and New Zealand.
But just the FDA doesn't allow you to do it.
Yeah.
So, of course they don't.
No.
But But so, you know, so she wrote me a prescription and then gave me this website that I could order it from in New Zealand. So we got that. And of course, shipping was all delayed because of COVID. So it took a long time for it to get here.
Right.
And then you start, you know, you ramp up on it. So I started by taking like, you know, one pill four times a day or whatever. And ultimately I was taking three pills four times a day.
So jeez.
12 pills a day.
Can there be, I mean, if this is intended for something else, can there be scary side effects that could happen to you?
Seems like
Well, it was a little bit why we ramped up. She's like, let me know if you feel anything not good.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
But like, didn't really give me specifics about like what that was.
So. Right. And there's not really any literature on it because like, you're not really supposed to do it, you know?
Right.
Like we were getting one of the side effects of the drugs, which was the lactation.
Right.
The drug was working.
Sure yeah. was.
But you don't know what else it was doing.
Yeah. Right.
And so, there was,
luckily there wasn't really much. You didn't have bad side effects.
No. No. And then I also took Moringa, which is like an herbal supplement. And then at the beginning of October, I stopped the birth control.
Because I was due at the end of October.
Right. And so I stopped the birth control and started pumping and pumped like I had a newborn. So I was pumping around the clock every 3 hours.
Oh my God.
Was milk coming out at that point or you were just pumping?
Yeah. Milk came out the first time I pumped. I mean, like a tiny, tiny bit, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
that must have been so exciting.
It was really exciting.
I made this happen.
Yeah. I was like, you know, on a Zoom call with a lactation consultant, like she was like showing me how to use the pump, you know? And she was like, okay. And then like milk should start to come out. And I was like, okay, you know, like, sure. Yeah. And then like, all of a sudden there was, but I was like, oh my God, like my body's just making milk. That's crazy.
Which is also a weird side effect of Zoom is that like all these lactation consultant, you know, meetings were via Zoom.
Right.
So like Zoe would be like taking her boob out.
Yeah.
And,
like, okay, can you see that? Like,
yeah.
And I would often like be on Zoom and then also have it on our phone so that we could like get the side angle, like, you know?
And she's like, oh yeah, you got like good veining going on. Like, you know, like,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But yeah. So we were like setting an alarm like twice a night to wake up so we could pump
before the baby.
Before the baby was born.
Poor things.
Yeah.
But then it was good because then I would like use that time to like bounce on the ball, you know, the yoga ball. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that helped.
You actually got up with her, Elise. I'd have been like, you got this.
Yeah, I felt bad. Yeah. I was like, you're going to be getting up for me when the baby's here.
So good. You guys are good.
Wow.
So I was like, all right, I'll bounce on the ball. And like, I think that actually did help the labor. You know, that I had so much bouncing time.
Wow. But,
amazing.
That is commitment right there.
Yeah.
Another reason to have two moms.
You should see our deep freeze. It's like only milk.
It's amazing. Yeah. Breastfeeding is hard. And nobody talks about how
clearly I knew it could be hard because, you know, we went through the effort of having Zoe do it, but I didn't realize how like physically hard it was, you know,
hurts.
And like you have to like, especially in the beginning, like just getting that laugh right. And like, you know, like I felt like Zoe needed to be there to like hold his head while I'm like holding my boob. And like, it was a whole thing.
Could you pass him?
Yeah. I would be like, I cannot feed him for 3 hours straight. Like, you know, and so she would take him for an hour and like, I would go take a shower, like calm down. Cause I'd be like, so like fed up with it, you know, come back and like take him back. And
it meant that we could split the night.
Right.
So I would take from like 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. and then Elise would take from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m.
And the other one would sleep in the guest room.
And the other one would sleep in the guest room. So that we each got like 4 hours of solid sleep a night.
Nice. Yeah, which was like a game changer.
This is taking two moms to a whole nother level right here.
I think the reason you started in the very beginning, you asked if I would do it. I think I would. But I'm definitely more daunted about it now.
Seeing how much work it is.
But I'm hoping that like...
But also we have a lot of domperidone because you had ordered in bulk quantities.
Right. But I'm hoping it's like ease, like it comes in quickly for me because I've given birth before.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. Like it'll be interesting to see like if my body responds or not.
Yeah.
All right. And then speaking of, before we let you go, so what's your time frame for Zoe's IVF?
So I think we're going
to... So Simon's going to turn 3.
Yeah.
In October of 2023.
Yeah.
And we're going to wait until the next calendar year for insurance reasons. So it'll be like January of 2024.
Yeah.
I'll go and start doing all the like tests and whatever. I don't know that they have to do. And then we'll probably wait until like May of that year, just so we don't end up having two with like the same birthday.
They probably didn't expect such a detailed plan.
This is so specific. It's amazing. That says a lot about you too.
Yeah.
I have the plan.
But
I love it.
I like the idea of him like being either in kindergarten or close to, just for like childcare purposes and like also no two kids in diapers, like that situation.
Okay. My daughter was in pre-K when I was pregnant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's good.
But you know, nothing ever we'll probably kick ourselves. We'll wait that long and then it'll take a long time to get pregnant, but.
Or we'll decide that actually we don't want to wait that long. Like, that's a lot of time from now. We might be like, well, let's just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the beauty is not in a rush.
You have time.
Well, you better keep us posted on that and what happens. That is critical. We need to
know.
Yes, we will.
Thank you guys so much for reaching out, for sharing your story. This was delightful.
Of course. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Oh, those two.
Elise and Zoe.
I love it when it just works out. It does.
Talk about planful. I mean, they were meticulously planned.
And sometimes that works out. Sometimes it doesn't. So, you know,
oftentimes we're like, oh, that's cute. You have that plan. But those two really did it. It worked. And there wasn't a hardship, which we need to remember that sometimes.
There's not always hardship. And people have written to us and told us that. So it's good that we include these stories, too. Sometimes it just works out real well, like Robin.
And I am going to also acknowledge that I was clearly obsessed with the idea of them living in Elise's childhood home. I could have asked a million more questions about that.
It is pretty special and interesting.
It's just such a cool concept.
It is. You're on the same street.
I'm going to take my kids back to my childhood home and I'm going to knock on the door and see if they'll let me look. Do you think that's weird?
So funny.
Do you think that's weird if someone knocked on your door with like two kids and was like, hey, I grew up here. Could I see the house? Do you think that's weird? Would you let them in?
I would let them in. I mean, not during COVID times.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. All right. Everybody, tell me if you think that's weird on the social media.
Way to get us off topic. But
Sorry. No. People, I'm going to get you back on topic. Go out and get our book, If These Ovaries Could Talk, The Things We've Learned About Making an LGBTQ Family. You can get it at all major retailers. But if you are a person who likes to buy locally, you can just check IndieBound and they'll tell you where to get it.
And you'll get that book. You can also get the audiobook and listen to us read to you, which who wouldn't want that? That is available on Amazon and iTunes. You could get the two for one, too. You get them both. You can toggle back and forth.
Yes. That's a great
thing. It's always good to have the book in hand as a reference. Like if you have to be like, oh, wait, what was that thing? You just run to the book as opposed to like trying to get through the audiobook.
Now you're telling people they got to get all three. They have to get it all. Audiobook. The Kindle and the print so they can read it in the toilet. All right, let's keep this conversation going. Join us on the social. Jamie, where can they get us on the social?
Well, you're going to find us at Ovaries Talk on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You are also going to find us as If These Ovaries Could Talk on YouTube, and that's where we have all of the recordings of our live streams. And don't forget, those live streams happen every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook and YouTube. So you can catch us live, but if you miss us live, you can catch all the old episodes on YouTube. And you can also support the podcast and join our community on Patreon at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And that's where you're going to get bonus content, new episodes dropped early. I mean, that's just one of the perks.
And I like frog in my throat. I was like, yes.
That was Helen. Helen just jumped in.
And thank you to our sponsors, Modern Fertility, California Cryobank, and BetterHelp. And a huge, huge, huge thank you to all of our patrons who are already helping us make this show. We're so appreciative. Thank you, guys.
You rock. Woo! You go out and you have a good day. You know that?
Eggs.
Ovaries. I always like it when I'm listening to something and then they start making me feel good. No?
No.
Not you? I guess we're not the people for that, though, right?
I don't think we are. Out.
Bye. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.